Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 85, Episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News. It's Tuesday, June 4th, 2019. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Sweet Jack O'Brien.
Bop, bop, bop.
That's courtesy of at KS Brayton. And... or alternately, whoa, oh, whoa, sweet Jack O'Brien. Courtesy of Soltis Hannah. You can go either way with that. I think we've done both of those, but always a fun way to start off the show. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Every morning when I wake up, there's a halo hanging from Miles of Graceful Post Bits. I know it's a gang, but I'll see if I can use them for some hot takes or an AK.
Shut the door, baby. Don't say a word.
Hannah Soltis, again, as Soltis Hannah on that one.
On fire.
On fire with the Sugar Ray AKAs. The Fly music video was recorded at a girl who I went to junior high with's godmother's house, and all she would say when that video came was like, that's my godmother's house. That's my godmother's pool. That's my godmother's backyard. We're like, we get it, Megan.
That
like,
Fly, though.
Those people always in our minds, like, from high school, like, don't you still imagine that that's still her only claim to fame?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah. She's that's still why just being like, the first I look at Sugar Ray and my brain goes, Megan from junior high.
Megan.
We get it. Your godmother had the background from the Fly video.
What if she is still living off that?
She's not, man. Yo, her fucking, I just saw her wedding photos from last year.
Oh, yeah.
She took a photo. They got married in Iceland. Okay. Uh-huh. So shout out to y'all.
Wow.
But the fucking photo, like, it has like a drone photo where they're on the edge of a fucking mountain. It looks like some Tolkien shit.
Wow. Almost like she believes she could fly.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat.
No comment.
That fucking fire, fucking up high in the sky.
That's what it is. He doesn't believe he can fly.
That's R. Kelly.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented Mr. Andrew T.
Oh, y'all, no more calling me Andrew T.
Oh.
I'm just Andy from now on.
Damn.
Andy.
And
like Toy Story? Name.
Yes, like Toy Story.
Like Toy Story. Call me Andy, like Toy Story.
I didn't have time to, I was trying to think of an AKA and I biffed it. And then I realized a kid in college called me Andy T, and it was the worst thing I've ever heard.
Andy T.
Yeah, right?
Andy T.
Yeah. The worst.
It's weird knowing you.
Yeah.
Because
you, what would it take for me to actually be an Andy?
You'd have to have spiky hair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Actually.
You're a little too dignified for you to be Andy.
Right?
It's weird. I don't know.
I look at you. We did just see friend of the show Andy Beckerman 5 seconds ago, but
yeah.
But Andy comes.
Andy's our whack.
He starts off. He starts off as Andy. I only know Andy Beckerman to be Andy.
Yeah, yeah.
I know you to be Andrew. So then, to suddenly, you know, if Andy Beckerman suddenly becomes like, I'm going by Andrew now.
You talking about Drew? Drew Beckerman.
Oh, Drew's.
Uncle Drew. Dude, Drew Beckerman.
Drew Beckerman.
The god of Rucker Park.
Actually, next time he's on the show.
Great show.
Will he be the Dave? Drew Beck Quartet.
Ooh,
that's an AKA for him. There I can think go. Of someone else. It's not mine.
Why don't you take five and work on a punch up on that
Beat boy. That out, as they say on the street. Let's just dropping bombs in the street.
Bombs.
Well, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, Andy. But first, we're going to take our listeners through.
I already regret
makes
it.
Me uncomfortable.
Few
already
of the things
regret it. We're talking about today, such as what was IHOP change. What was that all about?
Oh, what a
cliffhanger.
We
were all on the edge of our seats. And
wait till we reveal this.
Oh, man.
Because I've decided I don't care about the creeping of fascism in this country. I care about IHOP right now.
That's why we're starting
fucking
there.
They're fucking with me.
Yeah.
They're fucking with me.
Your passion has to be put somewhere.
Yeah, it has to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather make memes about creeping fascism than dealing with it at home.
We're going to talk about the president in the UK, President Trump, and also his new hairdo that he just kind of floated out there. Little test of what people's response would be to that.
Yeah.
Slick back.
I mean, we have a lot to... This, I think, will take up a lot of discussion because there's so many elements to the hair change that can be read in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad, actually, Andy, you're here today.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
I know you'll have a lot to...
No doubt.
Andy, you're a hairstylist. Right?
I am.
Yeah. I mean, I know Andrew T isn't, but Andy T.
Andy
T might
you
be
know
a hairstylist.
Andy can
cut hair?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Well, yeah, what do you call like kids, like cooks, they call it burning. Like you can't burn when they're talking about like
shape.
Yeah.
Like what's style. What's the haircutter slang with like
style.
You can't clip?
They're stylists.
You think it's chop.
You can't chop.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Chop
but
is,
I do.
I know in Ghana that's what you say instead of eating. Chop.
Which
I
really?
Like better. Yeah, we go chop.
That's nice. Cool.
Yeah.
Is that where the phrase the chop it up is not that, but
I don't know. It like it look, any Ghanaian Zeitgang, holler at me.
Yeah.
Let this old Bruni know what's going on.
And barbers used to be barber and surgeon used to be the same job.
So, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
No, it did. What do you mean?
The types of surgery.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I when I was in Hong
like
Kong
minor surgery.
As a kid. I for sure we went to some alley with my like now ex uncle my aunt divorced
you guys
his
broke
ass,
up
but
oh.
Like yeah but I think we were just getting like fucking soy milk or something but we went down this wild ass alley and yeah there was like a dentist slash barber
okay.
operating
dentist right. barber I get both not exact science
right
yeah sciences. Not exact sciences and neck up
yeah neck
he's
up
a, he's
yeah.
a wizard of the neck up
yeah
but and I like
surgery
like,
used to be a little bit more. Like, you know, they were just doing what they thought was right in the moment type thing.
What is a surgery that a old-timey barber surgeon would do? Like, what was considered surgery then?
You know, I don't know.
Because I'm just curious,
I mean,
like,
I think
are we
it was
talking
like,
about gallbladder removal?
I think
removal?
It was on the bloodletting side of the equation, maybe.
Oh, so
like, and oral surgeries, I think.
I know that something about, like, that twisty pull that is outside of barbershops, like, that started as, like, a signal. It was supposed to symbolize, like, the red bloody cloths of a surgeon.
What?
So, yeah, so they were doing, like, the kind that results in bloody cloths.
The good surgery.
Right.
Yeah, well, shout out to one time I remember this dude was cutting my hair, cut top of my ear off.
No.
With scissors,
nice.
Yes.
Is that why you look like that?
Yo, man,
that explains it. Yeah.
I know I told you.
I thought you were ashamed of being an elf.
No, and I know I told you
or
I was
Spock.
I was doing stunts in that MIA video, Bad Girls, in that car, and that's how my ear top came off. But no, Peter accidentally slipped the top of my ear off.
All right. Well, that's good to know. And now we can stop Photoshopping all those pictures.
Thank
that's
you so much.
What most of our budget goes into.
I know.
We're going to talk about Jared Kushner, who did an interview with Axios. That was very like Vice style and like handheld. You got to do a handheld camera coverage of Jared Kushner because he's always on the move. It's like Sasquatch. You know, you get that guy just. We're going to talk about movie studios and where they're at in their with their threats to leave Georgia, which they should have already done by now.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Disneyland, Star Wars Park, and what the bathrooms are like there. like I said, finally a theme park that will answer the question, is there an animal that will eat my shit? And how many eyes does it have? And will you let it swim through the water I'm about to drink?
And it's not Flintstones Land.
It's not.
Which feels like it maybe should have been.
Yeah, it just should. Yeah, I feel like Flintstones Land, you would be shitting directly.
A doo doo dactyl.
Oh, that's cool. Thank you. Thank you.
Wow. Yeah, it can fly and then get low. but first, Andy, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh, man, this one is way too much. I've been keeping an eye on the U.S. dollar price of Bitcoin.
Okay.
Because I think I've talked about it on air before. I've certainly talked about it, I think, in person. I've been playing poker online, but because it's not lawful to do so in the state of California, I've been playing on a European-based site that takes Bitcoin as its currency. And my problem was when I bought into the site, it was one of the highs of Bitcoin, and then it kind of promptly crashed.
Oh, God.
So it has almost crawled back up. So basically, I bought into this poker site. The value of the currency I bought it with like plummeted by a quarter. I did manage to spin up my stack to about, you know, four times what I bought in with.
Okay.
Money that had been so devalued that I was still underwater in U.S. dollars.
Oh, wow.
And so now I'm almost positive in U.S. dollars.
There you go.
So I feel good.
Yeah.
That's great,
so
man.
I'm trying to play a lot
of poker?
So I hate going to the gym.
Let's start there.
I'm sorry. So my reward for being on the exercise bike is I play poker on my phone for a while.
Yeah. So you're gambling.
Damn, man, you have like all sorts of I was just thinking poker is hard enough for me to just like keep track of like all the odds and shit like that. You've got the odds of like the hand you're playing and who you're playing against and what you think like based on what they're doing. You also have the currency markets, and then you're also working out while you do that.
Well, the currency market thing is just pervasive in the background, so that doesn't take up like active mental cycles.
Right.
And then I think the working out actually, because I'm like kind of a nervous person in general, even when I'm gambling. So I think actually it's that fundamental attribution error thing where I can tell myself my heart rate is elevated for a reason, not nerves.
Right.
And that I think actually keeps me more level-headed.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I suspect.
That the fundamental attribution error is also why it's a good idea to go on to a horror movie with somebody that you have a crush on, because elevated heart rate will trick them into thinking that they are aroused or interested in you romantically.
Mm-hmm.
So,
or if they already like you, they think that they're aroused by blood.
Yeah, exactly.
And it'd be very weird post-date interaction.
Yeah. Either way, it's real good.
Or they think they're scared by everybody they've ever fallen in love with.
Yeah.
And then they're just fucked. What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated is staying awake during any of the number of recent big blockbusters. Overrated.
Okay.
Them shits are too long, and they're so like fundamentally like everyone has that exact same structure. So you can fully take a 15-minute nap at an hour 45 into every single 2.5-hour blockbuster.
Okay.
I did it yesterday at Godzilla.
Okay.
It was great.
Right. Yeah.
And you feel like kind of mildly refreshed when the action starts.
Yeah, because, I fall asleep in movies a lot.
Yeah.
Probably because I'm smack city out. but when I'm in there, it's weird. It's almost like subconsciously, I know I'm like, nah, there's going to be a little break in the action here. Although Fast and Furious, I fucked up. I slept through most of the film. But
the first?
No, no, the last one, like the zombie car sequence. I fully slept through it.
Yeah.
But
you can also catch all that shit on YouTube in 3 days.
Yeah.
Right. It's actually incredible how all the good scenes are on YouTube.
But it's like right in those moments before you fall asleep, you're like struggling, like, you're like, I'm falling asleep. But it's true. When you actually just succumb to the sleep,
let it embrace you.
Yeah.
And then you can get literally a perfect, like, 18 minute nap in. And you feel great.
And you come back, you're like, I'm going to stay awake for the rest of the whole movie now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing how much of my life, like, before I graduated from school was spent doing that. Like, at that exact point where I was, like, trying to keep one eye open just to, like, look like I was still awake while my brain was, like, floating around.
You're done.
Yeah. So is there a point that people should be looking for? Is it, like, about halfway,
structurally,
two thirds of the way through the movie?
Are we talking about Joseph Campbell, hero's journey structure?
Well, I think what it is that that fucking Save the Cat book.
Yeah,
right.
Like, really locked down blockbuster structure, possibly forever.
Yeah,
right.
Like, it just
everyone's
it's like,
what about Save the Cat, man? It used to be story by Robert McKee.
Yeah,
right.
It's the same. I mean, ultimately, a lot of it's the same beats and whatever, and there's a good reason stories are told like this, whatever. But also, I think it's because movies have gotten so long that, like, kind of, like, you know, however the screenwriting books call it, like, that, like, marshaling the forces moment before the you know, triumphant third act is long now.
Yeah.
It's like 15 minutes. Something, you know?
Give an example of a marshaling the forces part in, like, Avengers or something.
I think the Guardians of the Galaxy first movie, where they're all standing around on the Benatar, I think is the name of the ship, and they all basically say what they like about each other after having had a fight.
Right.
Something. I'm trying to remember, but that's an example I think I've seen a lot. But yeah, it's the big setback. Heroes dust themselves off and apologize to each other moments.
And, and now let's get at it.
Yeah.
So it's weirdly takes forever.
Yeah.
And you know that's not going to change because, you know, they're all going to have to dust themselves off to go kick some ass. You're like, you know what? I already know.
And maybe it's because these, especially like big blockbusters, are so like, they're big now and they, you know, in like a movie like Avengers, there's a lot of plot lines. So there's, it's weird you have that same rhythm of the beat, but for a lot of stories, like a lot of different like CD stories. And you're just like, okay. But also because our brains fully know what's going to happen next, it just doesn't matter.
Right, right.
Anyway.
What is something you think is underrated?
Okay. underrated, which is what I've been doing all this week. I don't think I can talk about it yet, but I just got a new job that required me to watch about, back of the envelope, like 70 hours of an existing TV show.
Oh, boy.
And it got, you know, obviously very boring to do it for a while. But once
do you think people are going
to
put together what you're talking about if they figure this all out?
I wonder.
Okay. I'm just asking you if you want to come out here with that.
I don't know for sure that I can't say anything. I'm just not.
Okay.
Because, you know, what if I can't? But, you know, I think it's vague enough.
Because when the Sopranos spinoff comes out, people are gonna be like,
I'm gonna understand the Deadwood movie. That's all. That's all I'm gonna tell you.
My
guys.
Job is one I gave myself, and it's to understand the Deadwood movie.
But no, it's that once you kind of like zone into like hour, I don't know, 30 of a project like that, it kind of starts to be fun again. I was surprised at like how like this forced binge seemed. It's like, you know, it helps that the show is good, but I was just like, I'm in it. I know what's going to happen. I'm going to watch an episode in bed before I get up. You know, I'm going to start another one while I'm like making my eggs and like, you know, and it's just like, that's what it's going to happen. That's what it's going to do. And it gave me weird structure in my life.
Right.
So.
And you know, what's going to happen, but you can admire like the craftsmanship of like how they get there.
I think a little bit, Well, at a certain point when you watch that much of one show, too, it can just be jokes and writing. And little pieces of the writing, because, like, largely stuff, you're like, I get the rhythm of this now.
Right, right.
And I get how it's put together. So, I don't know. Look, ask me again in 4 days when I'm done. But
right.
So far, so good.
And finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true, you know to be false?
So my myth is... and I know this is something that, like, I think financially literate people have always known.
Oh, no.
But it's, don't buy a fucking car.
Oh, wow.
Like, don't buy a car.
Right.
Arguably, don't use a car at all for different reasons. But I'm in the middle of having the first car I've ever owned start to die on me.
Oh.
And I was just like, oh, right. This is why all like the people who I know who grew up white and middle class or upper middle class are like, yeah, just lease that
lease
thing.
Lease that
great.
Shit.
Yeah.
And I know it's so obvious, but like people like, for instance, my fucking parents are like, so what car are you going to buy next? And I was like, none, zero, nothing.
Right.
Forever.
Yeah.
Because I can't, I think it's a thing that I just need to admit to myself. It's like, I can't take care of anything well enough to own it.
Right.
I was having another conversation just outside before the show about like iPhones and whatnot. And it's like, just rent that shit or like know that you're going to fully snap it in half in like.
Well, yeah, if you're fucking 90- reckless then and careless
I'm reckless.
With shit,
yeah.
Then you might as well lease.
I
For
should
me,
lease.
Do you
take care of shit?
Not that great.
Yeah.
But I also don't buy anything. Like I look at it, I'm like, are the reviews like, you could basically run this motherfucker into the ground.
Right.
And I'm like, yep. Because yeah. I used to have a Honda Prelude
yeah.
that I could have drove into Mad Max world.
Yeah.
I would have been yeah. perfect.
Turns yeah. out my Ford Hybrid
oh,
not
yeah.
as not as stable an investment
man.
As I'd hoped.
Oh, yeah. See,
it's true about Ford.
My Mazda man. 3, yeah. look, I'm not having regrets about buying that shit. So I'll own it. You know, that's my thing though, too, is like, I just want to eliminate a payment and then be like, I own this. Cause with my Honda, once that shit was paid off,
yeah.
I'd have any payments and that shit was just going.
Yeah.
As long as
I think that's ultimately true, but I just think that's like, here's what it is. And this is really, again, I think talking to a lot of the children of immigrants out there, which is like a lot of the things your parents think about saving money is not financially correct.
Right.
How about that?
Oh, wow.
That's a good, yeah. that's a good.
Because there's a lot of like hoarding, a
comes
lot of.
Comes from a place of lack.
A lot, yeah. And so it's super low risk.
Yeah. Right? Yeah,
like,
yeah.
but because of that, you necessarily lose out on, you know, by avoiding risk at any cost, you lose out on a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's also the case for a lot of the Depression era people
yeah.
were like my. Mom's parents were like at the end when you like start having financial discussions with them like mm-hmm. about their estate planning yeah you kind of realize that
yeah.
they have a totally
this
you know,
2.5% we've been earning
right.
rock solid that could never go right. anywhere and it's like oh my god
yeah.
that's wild
yeah
invest in Bitcoin everyone peace
welcome to mad money I mean sad money.
All right, guys. Real quick, we wanted to check in with IHOP. They had a big marketing push last year that they were changing their name to IHOB to become the International House of Burgers. And I mean, watch out now. So, you know, that worked phenomenally. And we all think of IHOB as a place for burgers and not as a place for breakfast. And for some reason, they decided to change their name back to IHOP.
Yep.
And the speculation was rampant.
We went through it. We thought it was going to be a Prince-themed place.
There was a fist fight in the office.
All Prince-themed dishes.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for the person. I know we called one dish a raspberry beret. He said a pancakes with raspberry puree.
Oh,
okay. You know
good.
What? And that's the privilege you get to not do the show live on the spot and just come up with this shit. But you know, we were very interested. We're like, okay, maybe they're gonna do something interesting. Maybe they got something up their sleeve.
Do
so,
anyone actually have one of these burgers in this room?
No.
No. Oh. Because I don't care.
Yeah.
Because when I go to IHOP, it's late. If usually it's like nothing else is open except for IHOP. Maybe we'll see some people get in a fist fight.
I feel like since I moved to LA, here's why. It's because the only IHOP I can think of off the top of my head is in K-Town, and everything's always open in K-Town.
Yeah, that's just the
right.
rule. That's just the rules of K-Town.
So
K-Town don't sleep. But
bad location choice, IHOP.
This place,
you're
okay.
Show in town at so, 2 in the morning.
They said June 3rd is the day. June 3rd, we reveal IHOP. What's the P stand for?
It's going down.
Cut to June 3rd, and they tweet out, I go to their website. It says, introducing our new pancakes with an asterisk.
Right.
All natural, 100% USDA choice black Angus beef. It's three motherfucking hamburgers.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then it says the asterisk is leading to the thing down below. It says, when we changed our name to IHOB, the beef for burgers, the internet told us to stick to pancakes. So we're sticking to quote unquote pancakes. Hint. their burgers. Fuck you, IHOP.
That sucks.
What the fuck? I mean,
it's just like a really, it's almost like a really labored bad tweet that they made into a whole like marketing campaign. It's like a person misunderstanding sarcasm and like tone and shit, and just like
it's not that the internet was saying, hey, stick to pancakes, like the name.
Right.
It's like stay in your fucking lane.
Your
as
burgers
the
are
late
probably
night.
Bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just grease spot. Yeah. Fucking do that. Yeah. Nobody wants burger fucking burgers.
Yeah.
I don't. So
it's very like Huckabee style. Just like
yes,
we're not
it's very Huckabee
we're
style.
Not abandoning this.
Right.
No matter what.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's incredible. There's no amount of feedback or forced laughter.
Yeah, this is definitely they were like, this Huckabee guy's got some chops. Let's bring him on as a ghostwriter for this campaign.
You know what you do? You go back to pancakes, but it's still burgers.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Cool.
Okay. Thanks. Please fall all the way back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess it's just one of those things where like they're milking this thing that already wasn't that cool to begin with.
Right.
IHOB, I think they completely misread us. Like it wasn't like, oh ha ha ha. It's like, yo, this is lame. Mm-hmm. And they're like, let's just bring it out. Let's ring it out one more time and see what we can get out of this.
Well, it's the kind of ad exec that's like, there's no such thing as bad publicity. They're right. talking. Yeah, if they're talking, we must be doing something right. And it's like, oh, good Lord.
Cut to your quarter figures.
Yeah.
You're like, we haven't sold a burger.
Yeah. And if you've spent
good?
Time in
what
a
if
room
so
with
good?
Like ad execs, like you can hear how this meeting went. And it's just like exhausting.
Because you know what happened? The IHOP shit didn't work.
Right.
And they're like, guys, we got to figure out what the fuck is going on because we went all in on burgers. And I'm sorry, burgers are only making up 5% of our total sales. We thought we projected this to be about 15 to 20.
This is all like so they figured out some math where they can sell like shitty beef at a great margin.
USDA Choice Black Angus beef.
Right.
Okay.
By the way, Black Angus does not mean anything other than it's a brand.
Well, that's not what the cowboy told me in those commercials for Black Angus Steakhouse. We used to be cutting his beard with a knife by the river.
Yeah. Black Angus can be D-level, like, prison-quality meat.
Okay, well, then fuck them.
Which is about right.
Oh, wait, okay, you know what, Andrew? You do bring up a good point, though. We shouldn't just slag them off like this without trying it ourselves.
I kind of want to have one.
Should we go?
All right.
Andrew and I will figure out a date.
Yeah.
All right. all right, we're going to take a quick break to go taste test IHOP's new burgers, and we'll be back in a moment.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back.
You all right? The burger was awful. Bullshit.
No, we will do an actual taste test.
Yeah, maybe what I'll do, because Andrew and I like to eat. We can just, you want to go too, Jack?
Yeah.
We'll just go.
Oh,
we'll,
thanks,
we'll bring
Miles. A, thanks for including me.
Well, on the extra currics, you know what I mean? I know. We know to, you know, we keep it separate but equal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll have to go.
Yeah, but I do.
The
eat.
Photos look good. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Do they?
I mean, look, it's got, anytime I look at a brioche bun, I think it looks good.
Yeah, because
I like
true.
That little egg wash good. On top because it gets shiny.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about Donald Trump, who is in the UK, getting a warm welcome from one young man who mowed a penis into a field that he would be flying over.
Yeah, an 18-year-old student, Ollie Nancaro.
Yeah.
Shout out to you because he did a very, very good cock and balls upon the field. And it says, "Oi, Trump." It's just like the text underneath it.
Oi.
And yo, I have to give it up. It's the technique on this, the mowing skills, it's legit. Like,
oh,
this
yeah.
isn't some janky shit. This is like the Nazca lines. Is that what they call that in Peru?
Oh, right. You know what
I mean?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
like on that level of like intricate shit that you could see from space, probably mm-hmm. not.
There's a curve to the dick, but you get the sense that it was an intentional curve.
Oh yeah,
yeah. yeah.
It should have been a mushroom. You know right. what I mean? If we're really gonna go at this man's neck, then it should have been the shape should have been a little bit more exaggerated.
Right.
But you still get points. He also in another close by field also did climate change is real.
Ah.
So you know he did his part. So you know the trip started off with a slight bang.
Yes.
I feel like the British do like public roof dicks really well, or like flyby dicks.
Yeah.
I feel like I've seen this before too.
Oh, like previous flight path things?
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, his disapproval rating is like 73% in the UK.
Wild.
So people, you know, and you know, a lot of people are protesting.
Low,
they got the baby Trump blimp will be flying again on Tuesday. So as you're hearing this, I'm sure there'll be some footage of that. But when Trump got there, first of all, he took a fucking helicopter into London, I think to Buckingham Palace, because he did not want to drive a car through because he doesn't want to look at people that will remind him that he's like fucking not the one.
Not welcome.
He's not welcome at all.
He came in taking shots at London's mayor, Sadiq Khan, who he said by all accounts has done a terrible job as the mayor of London, has been foolishly nasty to the visiting president of the United States. By far the most important ally of the United Kingdom. He is a stone-cold loser. We should focus on crime in London, not me.
Uh-huh. Pivot now.
Yeah. Khan reminds me very much of our very dumb and incompetent mayor of New York City, de Blasio.
Wow.
Who has also done a terrible job, only half his height. In any event, I look forward to being a great friend to the United Kingdom, and I'm looking very much forward to my visit. Landing now!
Oh, boy.
Oh. Yeah.
All because Khan wrote an op-ed accurately describing how disgraceful Trump is as a president and how he shouldn't have any kind of red carpet welcome for him.
He also, nasty was in his mind because he also called Meghan Markle nasty in an interview and then claimed he didn't call her nasty for, you know, criticizing him during the 2016 election. And, you know, the office of the White House, I guess, tweeted a link to the interview in which he called her nasty and was like, see for yourself. He never called her nasty. And it, you can hear him calling Nasty in the interview. So they're just assuming people won't click. It's pretty impressive work.
That's actually like, that's almost pitch perfect because it's like they know his supporters will not click.
Right.
It's like the fact that the link exists is the proof that they wanted.
That's right.
And everyone else is like, oh, what an idiot. And it's like,
because it was just bluff the evidence.
Yeah.
That people aren't going to look. And then they do. It's like, yeah, read the Mueller report. It's like, I just did actually. Yeah. What the fuck was that? Oh, he's an angry Democrat. What else?
His other complaint was just that, you know, when he got there, there was no international Fox News. it's only international CNN. Fox News does not travel well. BO.
Yeah, they were shut down in 2017, I think, in the UK. And also, like, Rupert Murdoch, they have, like,
Sky, right?
Impartiality guidelines that they were violating. They're like, oh, yeah, we can't possibly consider this to be some kind of a news network. Although,
just like, like the fairness doctrine that we no longer got.
Mm-hmm. Also, why would we carry a foreign propaganda outlet on our country? Like, who the fuck would want to watch
it? He's like, I can't believe there's no One America News here either.
Right.
But the tweet was, just arrived in the United Kingdom. The only problem is that CNN is the primary source of news available from the U.S. After watching it for a short while, I turned it off. All negative and so much fake news. Very bad for U.S. Big ratings drop. Why doesn't owner AT&T do something? Good. Can you imagine? Because that's his fucking safe space, his his little comfort blanket.
Yeah.
And then he turns it on to somewhat reality check where people are like, oh, yeah, this, and this. Look at Trump. He's a disgrace. And he's like, oh, my God, I can't handle this.
I'm trying to remember where I read this, but there is because there is Sky News, which is also owned by the Murdochs, that isn't Fox,
right?
Like that. I think I'm trying to remember this analysis that was pointing out that and I think in Australia the version that they own is still right wing, but not. It's basically that the Murdochs probably don't really believe in anything.
Right.
And they just tailor to whatever. I mean, I guess it's sort of mildly the most right wing thing they can get away with in any given country, but it's different. Like it's significantly different. And Fox News is this weird fascist anomaly, I guess.
Yeah. Right.
Which is a bright spot.
Yeah.
You know, in still global politics.
Still right ish though.
Of course. Yeah.
And I guess Conrad Murdoch or whoever the one is who's supposed to be taken over, the younger one, hates Fox News and thinks it's an embarrassment to the family. So that'll be interesting once Big Man goes away to the big mansion in the sky or whatever the fuck.
The big fiery mansion deep under the ground.
Yeah, that's the one. And also, just ahead of this trip, it looked like Donald Trump was debuting a new hairdo. He made a surprise visit to a Virginia church, and he claims he was just leaving a golf round, and it was just head. But this dude, literally had a bald spot on his head, just, pulled into a bun and, cut off. Because,
he did?
Yeah, that's how he had basically bald spot reduction surgery, where that, they gather up the skin
that's
bald
all dead
and cut it off and then sew it together. So
hell yeah.
The hair part is and it was so painful. That's the thing from Ivana's memoir about when he assaulted her. And he
was during
had a painful scalp surgery that had put him in a nasty mood or something. And
Jesus.
But anyway, that's his typical move for dealing with a bad hair day is having his scalp chopped off. And, you know, he spends an hour in the mirror every morning doing his hair himself. He does not seem like the guy who just goes out there with hat head and is like, whoops.
Yeah.
No.
So this was definitely a very planned move for him to come out with slick back hair. Looks like he got some good plugs in or something because his hair is looking a little fuller than you might expect. Maybe he just had really good scalp reduction surgery.
The mystery just continues, though.
Yeah.
The look is very much like that one Taylor Swift cover where she's allegedly not wearing makeup or whatever. And it's very... Do you guys remember that?
With her slick back hair?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same look.
It's natural Trump.
Yeah.
It's not a good look.
No.
I mean, it's... He definitely looks more normal than I would have expected with his hair slicked back.
It doesn't look like a tricky hairdo. I'm like, oh shit, you got the strong hairline in the front?
Yeah.
I thought you were combing it to the, you were bringing the party to the front because it was trying to go to the back.
I mean, that has to have been part of the decision making at some point. And then he has done something to like fill it out.
Yeah.
And I mean, Ivanka even has said that in the Fire and Fury book, they got reporting from some of her friends who she, like, this is something she shits on her dad about all the time, like how much time he spends on his hair and how insecure he is about it. And she was the one who talked about the bald spot reduction surgery and how much, like, he does with his hair to hide his bald spot, essentially. So that's definitely
very secure.
The consideration. Right, but for somebody who's so wildly insecure that they haven't changed their hairdo,
yeah,
even as they've been mercilessly ridiculed for it for an entire career, to then suddenly change their hairdo suggests like a wobbling of his inner equilibrium or something. It's just it.
I don't know. Though. I mean, I feel like it could veer towards extra confident.
Yeah,
I feel like this is a man who knows he's just fully dictator
it's
of the
something,
world.
Something, right. Something's up. Something's going on. I don't know which way it is, but yeah, that's true. It's either
the top can definitely wobble the other way.
They're like, yes. I'm about to hit him with that new do.
Yeah. Right.
Or it's
with that.
I don't know. Maybe if I change my hair, they'll think I'm a different person and look at me differently. And
that emperor for life look.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. He just looks like a standard old guy now with that hairdo.
He looks like he, with this hair, he would be wearing like a little baggy t-shirt.
Yeah,
with some cut-off sweatpants that are turned to sweat shorts.
Well, he was wearing the weirdest slacks you could find. Like they are like fully straight-legged, all like they're just like so
stove
wide
pipes.
And long. Yeah. It's great. Mm. Good for him.
Well, you know, that's and we'll pay attention to that.
Yeah. Right.
His hair.
Who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit? It's all going down.
Yeah. So who knows what's changed about him, but something's changing.
So, you're betting. If you're a betting man, you're saying he's feeling himself.
If I'm a betting man, and I very much am.
Okay.
I'm going to go with, feeling himself.
So do you think a big move is coming? Like this is, he's signaling
something
to come?
This might be a victory lap on a bunch of the other, like, I mean, he's just like so solidified, like nothing is going to happen to me, you know?
Wow.
He's like, I did it. This is that.
Why do you think he switched back, though? If he is feeling himself, right? If he was, I would be more worried if he changed it and then he went to go meet the queen, still same haircut. Or was like, I can't meet the queen possibly looking like this. I look like Riff Raff.
Right.
Like, and then somehow he was like, that's my casual do, not when I meet dignitaries.
Right.
So you're thinking like it's just like a trial balloon. For like,
that's what Jack mentioned, that could be a trial balloon.
Oh, yeah. I think
maybe he was feeling a little spunky.
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
might delete later.
Maybe he's seen so many different angles of himself with his weird hairdo that he's like feeling insecure just about his hair, insecure about any of his rock solid decision making.
Yeah.
And so he's just now trying to go to a more normal.
I don't know.
I think
feels
either
looks
way.
Like a fat old guy.
Maybe, I mean, look, he could also, it feels like it's like this is the first step towards. Did you know W does watercolors? This feels like that.
Right, doddering.
And what's his? It's like he's actually really passionate about cutting hair.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just have this worry.
He cuts
that,
Melania's hair.
Like he for sure will have his image sanitized somehow.
I think it is. It's definitely getting sanitized a bit, even with this UK trip, where you know a lot of people are like, do not, like, you don't have to have this person here.
Right. Yeah.
All this shit and all this shit he talks about. Oh, it's the most important ally. It's like you constantly put like the allies at risk when you start talking about sensitive information or giving William Barr just blanket authority to
pulling
like,
out
declassify
of NATO.
Shit.
Right.
Really strong allies.
Yeah, he's having his children come with him to the UK and meet with the prince and princess and Harry. Meghan will not be in attendance because she's sane and also just gave birth. But yeah, so there is the whole, I think the media is secretly soft on his kids. Like that's the way to the media's heart is like, they secretly like love Ivanka.
Yeah.
It's
disgusting.
Yes. So we've always talked about how, you know, he surrounds himself with the people who have the thing that he doesn't have that he wants.
Hair.
So he has, Yes, a lot of guys with strong hairlines. Actually, he puts bald guys behind him in press conferences because he likes, like,
he'll gesture
his
back.
Look by in comparison. But you know, he surrounds himself with like military generals because he's like secretly a draft dodger, and you know, he surrounds himself with William Barr because he has the ability to just throw court cases out if he wants to. And he surrounds himself. His number one ally has the number one thing he most wants. Jared Kushner is fucking his daughter. And Jared Kushner is like one of the more powerful people in the country, essentially, at this point.
Somehow.
Yes. Yeah. And just because he happens to be married to Ivanka Trump. And he had a taped interview with Axios over the weekend. And yeah, it again, handheld camera coverage.
Hell you know, yeah, dude.
Coming at him from the bushes. The actual substance of what Jared Kushner was saying is pretty fucking scary.
Yeah, I mean, it ran the gamut from he was like, they were talking about, what about your Middle East peace plan? Like, you're working on that. And he's like, Palestinians don't trust you. He's like, I don't need to be trusted by them. Right. That's not what I'm interested in. I'm trying to broker a plan. And just really had a very odd, demonstrated a total lack of understanding on how a humane Middle East peace process would look. But he's like, you know, fuck a two-state solution.
Yeah.
We'll just get Egypt to cede some land and we'll wall it off, give him a couple bucks, and then I think I can be done with it and we can just end it there.
Right.
He also was asked about the meeting with the Russians, and he was saying like, what? He played real dumb. He's like, what about this email you got? And he's like, I don't know. Which email? He's like, from Rob Goldstone about meeting.
I get so many emails.
I get so many emails, and you know, it was such a waste of time. It said, be there at 4, and I was there at 4. I didn't know what was going on. It's like, so I'm sorry, Jared Kushner, if you just get an email that says be here at 4, you'll just be there at 4?
Yeah, right.
Like, because that's the other part I was worried about. I was like, you don't even care if you get an email that says this place at this time.
Right.
So come to this studio, Daily Zeitgeist, next Monday.
Just under that big metal thing that says Acme on it. Just right. See.
It's not an anvil.
Don't worry about it.
It's an interested buyer for your distressed property. And so even then he was asked by Jonathan Swan, he was like, hey, so if you got another email from the people saying we're from the Russian government and we want to help you, would you contact the FBI? And he's like, I don't know. It's hard to deal in hypotheticals. Which is yes, it was no, I won't call them because this is the only way we're going to stay. We can keep the courts away for another 4 years.
Right.
Hard to deal in hypotheticals is so great because that's like how animals operate.
Right.
Like, you can't.
It's hard for me to imagine.
The only
anything.
Thing that makes humans humans is imagination. What are you talking about?
Yeah. What would I do?
You know, I don't know. Think about anything that's not directly and physically in front of me.
Well,
so
one's wrong and one isn't.
When I close my eyes, I don't exist. Right. And when I open them, I exist again.
It's like, I'm sorry, Jonathan, I don't like this interview. I'm going to go now. And just close his eyes. And it's like, you're still here. Oh, darn it.
Oh.
And then he was asked, my goodness, a very easy question just about, you know, birtherism, you know, because Trump was loved to kick that whole shit off about Barack Obama's birth certificate. Very racist. But here, let's just listen to him struggle a bit with just very, very basic facts.
Andrea Ocasio-Cortez, she has called President Trump a racist. Have you ever seen him say or do anything that you would describe as racist or bigoted?
So the answer is no, absolutely not. You can't not be a racist for 69 years, then run for president and be a racist. And what I'll say is that when a lot of the Democrats call the president a racist, I think they're doing a disservice to people who suffer because of real racism in this country.
Was birtherism racist?
Look, I wasn't really involved in that.
I know you weren't. Was it racist?
Like I said, I wasn't involved in that.
I know you weren't. Was it racist?
Look, I know who the president is, and I have not seen anything in him that is racist. So again, I was not involved in that.
My God, the question could have just been, is racism bad?
Yeah.
And then he goes, look, I wasn't involved in that. That's not what I'm even asking.
Right.
Is racism bad? Look, you could almost cut that so it's an infinite loop. No, Jonathan Swan's cadence is exactly the same.
Yeah.
I know you weren't. Was it racist? Look, I don't understand. I know we weren't. Was it racist?
But
it's the 10-hour version on YouTube.
What does he think saying he wasn't involved with that does to, like, answer the question? What does Jared Kushner think?
Yeah.
Him saying he wasn't involved with that. So that, like, him distancing himself indicates, yes, you clearly know this is racist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing about it where, I think the only thing is, if there's a soundbite where he's like, is it racist? And he goes, yes, I think it was racist. Then right. he has some explaining to do. But I guess because no one has a mind for nuance at all,
right.
they're like, you did good, Jared. You're like, I wasn't there.
I'm like genuinely surprised he didn't just say no.
Right.
Like,
right.
You're a fucking racist liar. Just continue that. It's just weird that, like, why? Yeah, why would I give a shit?
Clearly the way he even looks at Palestine shows his worldview is not there are people and there are subhumans,
right.
yeah. like to him.
I mean, right, like the racist thing to say is like, no, of course not. It's just asking real questions about, right, you know, right. blah, blah, blah. Just like fucking parrot your racist father-in-law's line.
That's the thing that I think gives people false hope about Kushner and Ivanka is that they do appear to have like this one tendril of hope that they will be invited back into like New York polite society.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so they will like do these like gestures towards, you know, rational
yeah.
rationality. And then, you know, but it's nothing besides them.
It's performative.
Right. Yeah. It's completely performative. And did the dude not follow up with the like, okay, do you know about the Central Park Five?
No. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Well, no, then he asked, he's like, well, what about the Muslim ban?
Right.
He's like, isn't that some kind of prejudice? He's like, well, you know, that's what he can't like. And again, he's like, that's what he campaigned. I was like, no, I'm asking you. And he's like, right. well, you know, I think he's doing a good job and
right.
yeah.
just can't answer. So look, just come out. You know, you're
it's
nasty.
I mean, like, yeah, the last bastion of this shit is for some, at least like these racists have a sense that it's not cool to be called racist.
Right.
Right, because, they could just be full-on hugging it,
yeah,
embracing it.
It's really, but this is also Why on Yours is Racist, a great podcast I do.
Oh, yeah, I love Yours is Racist.
But we constantly talk about, like, this is why, like, you don't let the racists define what's racist.
Right.
And mm-hmm. why, like, you don't, you know, what's in your heart, like, doesn't
exactly.
make a fucking lick of difference.
Matter at yeah. all. Yeah.
Because that lets the racist decide
yeah,
whether their hearts
out,
are racist.
Well, let me look in there real quick.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Let me check that out.
Just pop right in for a checkup.
Yeah. If I can look, then we'll determine. We'll do it as text. Because
everything
style.
Your mouth is saying and your body's doing yeah. is racist.
Yeah.
That's a really good point, though.
I know Jonathan Swan should have been like, okay, well, I'll answer for you. It was racist. Moving on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then I would love to see how he'd react to that. And he'd be like, well, then I guess that's your opinion.
I mean, that's like,
so you have an opinion that's different? Let me hear it.
Yeah. That's our complicit-ass media, though.
Yeah.
It's like, and Axios is already whatever, but
is that them trying to be objective? Is that why he didn't follow up with that? Or is it just like this idea of journalism being like, we just ask the questions.
Even the AP sort of took big steps recently where they're like, you should call racist stuff racist as
right.
opposed to racially charged or yeah. like whatever. And then they recently kind of walked it back and they were like, you still shouldn't call people racist.
Mm-hmm.
You should call actions racist, which is like, ugh.
Right.
right.
Like, it's just pathetic, whatever.
Yeah. Well, you don't want to hurt the racists' feelings.
They don't.
God forbid.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's... They have feelings too, guys. Think about what's in their heart.
Think about what's in their fucking hearts.
And then we also just want to check in on movie studios and where they are with their progress of backing up what they were talking about when they were saying that they might pull out of Georgia.
Wait, are they though?
Right. So there's some interesting things I didn't know, like the CEO of Netflix. So Netflix is a big, you know, they're a big gravitational force in anything having to do with the entertainment industry these days. And, you know, when it comes to production in Georgia, they swing a lot of money. And their CEO, Reed Hastings, donated upwards of $140,000 to Republicans who supported an abortion ban in Missouri. So that's, and they're dragging their feet and when it comes to whether they're going to pull production from Georgia.
Right.
Yep. There's all sorts
Hey, look, I got to give to everybody. You know, we're doing business in the state. You know, you got to keep relations good with the left and the right. You know, it's sort of the cost of doing business.
Right.
And
also, that's what they say behind closed doors. But then they are making statements for publicity that basically, you know, monetize political enthusiasm. But what's truly important is following through on those good intentions and actually making the state of Georgia feel the pain of what their policies are until they make a change. The right is reacting to the even the threat of this by saying Lou Dobbs went full Bond villain on his show, claiming that if Disney and Netflix leave Georgia, quote, retaliation from the other side will follow, and it will escalate to the disadvantage and destruction of all.
I'm sorry, who's the other side?
Yes, the right.
No, but what card are they going to play? Okay, they pull out all their production money.
Yeah.
What's the response?
It seems almost like the only thing he could be talking about is a terrorist threat. Because it's just like, will escalate to the disadvantage and destruction of all? Like, motherfucker,
I mean, it's you're always tweeting like Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
It's always like when the right wing periodically like threatens to do like right wing entertainment.
Right.
And it's just like, yeah. Oh my God, there's gonna be let's just shoot all the Left Behind movies in Georgia. Really support that economy.
Right.
Good fucking. I mean,
well, these people aren't not guided by any kind of principles or moral beliefs, so they can never actually put any kind of a boycott together. Like, remember, it's like, well, fuck Keurig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, what happened there? Fuck Nike, man. I'm cutting the swooshes off my socks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, you showed them.
Yeah.
Who else? What was the other one? Starbucks. I remember at one point they were like, fuck Starbucks. They're going to hire immigrants.
Yeah.
The destruction of all right-wing people sucks.
Yeah.
Is what it
I mean,
to.
So I have a little personal connection to this because my sister is actually a women's health provider in fucking Atlanta. So she
has been,
like, basically every time this shit comes up. And I guess for what it's worth, from the ground, from one perspective, there's still a lot of debate in, you know, those circles in Atlanta about, like, what is actually the right move. Because it's fucking complex, right? Because this industry, on a primary level, almost exclusively employs people who do not support this insane abortion
ban. Right. It would punish a lot of people who don't support
this. And so there is that. I don't think anyone... And look, I'm saying this hugely biased because I... would love to work for all these companies, blah, blah, blah. Like,
right.
So, but yeah, there is that element of like, I mean, maybe that like sentiment hasn't fully coalesced around what the best thing to do is.
Yeah. Or just start funding all the challengers to these people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because
I
think it's hard to hold a state's economy like hostage like that. Because especially, you know, living in LA, we know how many other people are employed, even if you're not on set. Like the roots nourish many different things. And so that's where it's a little tough. But yeah, I think that's where it's almost like, I know on one hand, money seems to be the one language that all these people actually communicate in.
Yeah.
But I think there are other ways too to do this. And I like the sentiment, but yeah, at the same time, when you just think of like, well, that's a lot of production jobs that go out the window.
Right. I'm not saying one way or the other than like, so basically, every time I talk to my sister about it, she's just like, just fucking donate Planned Parenthood, ACLU, places like that, you know, and then the various local ones that every time a new atrocity happens in a state like that,
well, because if they're serious about it, there are other ways to actually make life hell for the people who brought this legislation forward in like a legislative way, not just like, hey, we'll anger the people who are your constituents and maybe that fallout from them losing their jobs or like a huge portion of their income will then create a
By the way, and I'm not saying the boycotts are wrong. I'm just saying.
No, I understand. But it's more intricate than just saying like, then we invest in the state of Georgia, like literally just with the state itself rather than like a part of the local economy. Yeah.
And I mean, is there any movement within the boycott to like get the companies to relocate people if they are going to take their business? So it's not just like a bunch of people get fired, but that they just like the companies pay the...
No way.
Right. There's just no way that they would do something non-profitable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For optics.
Yeah. And that's why...
This is the optics that they did.
That's why everyone just sort of like, we're looking at the situation.
Right.
Yeah.
And no one's been like, oh, we're gone.
Yeah, yeah, it is admittedly complicated. I mean, look, I think, was it Jordan Peele who basically was like, all of my fees from this shoot in Georgia will be directly donated to, don't remember the source.
Sure.
But like, you know, like, like corporations, it's almost impossible to get them to agree to some shit like that. But I will say, like, you know, I think for stars, like, that's a good middle ground. It's like, look, if you're going to fucking shoot in this garbage state, like, try to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So maybe that's it. It's like,
well, look, Georgia's Zeit Gang, you know, you guys live out there. I'm curious to know how you feel about it, because on one hand, especially when these kinds of bills are an existential threat to people, you know, how do you address that in a way that's effective, can get a response? Because, you know, it seems like for all the public outrage and news coverage about it, doesn't seem to be changing anything.
Right.
Yeah. But oh yeah, I mean, these dominoes are, look, arguably did already fall
with
the election, and we're just watching it happen now. But yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and two quick things. One, that I meant to bring up one of the more bizarre arguments that came up from the right against the boycott or proposed boycott. This was on Fox News, who had on a Baptist pastor who claimed that Disney should want an abortion ban because they will make more money if they have a larger future audience of children.
Yeah.
So... Okay. Cool. Very. Yeah.
It's weird when they peel back the layers on, like, yeah, this is about controlling women and, like, a permanent underclass.
Yeah.
Like, this is what we want. It's important for us.
Right.
It's fucking gross.
Yeah. And also, super producer Sophie Lichterman brought it to our attention that Donald Trump's new hairdo that he weather ballooned out there is actually a spitting image of L. Ron Hubbard. He looks a lot like L. Ron Hubbard when he is rocking that. So, which makes sense. They're both, you know, generation defining sociopaths.
Although L. Ron Hubbard's suits largely fit. So,
right. It's weird.
Either way, it looks like the last person you negotiate with at a mechanic, like auto garage.
Right.
It's like, I got to talk to my boss. And you're like, well, let me talk to him. And you're like, oh, fuck.
Oh, no.
This motherfucking evil goblin.
He figured me out. Guys, Disneyland Star Wars Park finally opened last week. And it's, you know, so popular. The demand is so high that you can only go in for 4 hours at a time.
You have bracelets on, right? So the stormtroopers would be like, hey, get the fuck out.
Yeah, there's like, used to happen at like a weird water park in like New Jersey that I used to go to where like it was like a timed thing. And then the lifeguards would come around and be like, you, out. Your time's up, basically.
Wow, I've had my eye on you.
Yeah.
Don't ask why.
Because you have your weird bracelet on that says like, you're part of this crunch.
So you're a 230
you get,
kid.
Right, you get, as you are admitted, you get a color-coded bracelet.
The difference here is when your time is up, if you stay in the park, stormtroopers will come and escort you out.
Hell yes.
Which is fucking dope.
Hell yes.
That would be tight, though. You cosplaying as a Jedi, and you're like, oh, then I guess we must do battle.
Right.
And I'll beat the shit out of you, man.
Yeah, I'm assuming they're more friendly than the stormtroopers in the movies, but...
I mean, the good optics of... fully deporting people from their park
based on your colored bracelet.
Yeah. Yes.
You there.
I mean, I guess the trick is to try to just shove the bracelet up so it's around your arm, your upper arm, and do it that way.
Oh, I'm sure there's some facial recognition shit that they are borrowing from China or something.
Yeah, this is actually a trial run for some really fucked up technology.
Oh, my God, yeah.
No, it's
not. I mean, Disney World.
Almost certainly will be licensed to someone fucked up.
Disney World, when you, like, buy tickets for a stay at Disney World, they, like, send you bracelets that, like, you just, they use to track you everywhere and you use them to pay.
Yeah.
It makes your life super easy, but it also.
Oh, like being on a cruise ship kind of thing?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
All your currencies through the bracelet?
Right, but, like, you walk through, like, sensors all the time and they're just, like, they constantly know where you are. So. Like but people who have done it are like, man, it's amazing. Disney has this like totally locked up.
It's so easy. It's so convenient.
But yeah, so they are already at the forefront of, you know, dystopian future technology.
I like that. Still haven't been.
But the important thing is, guys, you can taste the blue milk Luke Skywalker was being forced to drink.
There we go.
Yeah, baby.
Also, shout out to people who don't drink dairy because it's non-dairy. Give them another one. Woo!
I think it's a combination of milk and like dragon fruit flavors and blueberries. So it actually tastes, you know, I'm sure it's going to taste good. It'll just be like sweetened milk.
It's been in a test lab for probably years now.
Right.
Trying to be like, okay, is this broad enough that everyone will drink it and not be like, gross.
Yeah.
It's windshield wiper fluid.
Just smells and tastes of windshield wiper.
Why is it hot?
They just haven't done any of the work. Because it just came out of the cow's teeth, you idiot. Because
it just came out of that monster titty over there, bro. Right. Get it together.
One of the weird things that is kind of in that alley is that they have... So, first of all, they designed the bathrooms also to be fully immersive. So, like if you've ever been to a theme park and then you like go to the bathroom and it's just this like neon lit, like takes you out of the world. Well, this universe... Even though the bathrooms are, you know, completely clean and spotless, they are also artificially made to look dirty, like they've like been
weathered,
lived in,
right.
Weathered. And there's also a thing where the creature that lived in the trash compactor from the third movie, or this second movie, I guess, isn't it Empire?
No, it's the first one.
It's the first one.
Oh, is it?
New Hope, yeah.
What the fuck?
When Han's in the Stormtrooper costume?
Right.
Yeah, they're all, yeah. They dive
they're
into
all Stormtroopers.
The...
What the fuck?
Surprisingly easy to access that area.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be in there.
Anyway,
trash compactor.
Yeah. The thing that's swimming around in the trash compactor is a Dianoga, which is a one-eyed snake monster thing that I guess it consumes like bacteria and trash, and you know, it's basically a like a bacteria that you use, that we actually use in our waste systems, but they have a giant.
What do you mean that we actually use in our waste?
We have like bacteria. I thought you meant that like and stuff.
I thought you meant like our own Dianoga that we play to this day.
They're just like
elegant creatures,
microscopic.
But, right.
So they have a giant one, and you can actually hear it swimming through the pipes.
Oh hell! No.
It's an animatronic creature that you can hear swimming through the pipes, and actually swims through the pipes that lead to the drinking fountains, which is kind of weird. Like you can look into the like kind of cloudy tanks that are next to the drinking fountains,
and see this monster eye.
That's too much attention to detail.
I hate that.
So many people get dehydrated at the party.
I know, because and the water is cloudy. Why is the water cloudy that's leading to the drinking fountain? Like I don't need the water to be dirty.
Yeah, but we're showing you how lit the technology is, okay? Because this is Galaxy's Edge, where we take just shit water and it turns it into Anaheim tap water.
Right.
It's weird how that thing, because it was mostly full of like junk, just junk and doo-doo.
Yeah, getting smushed up.
Yeah.
Why
are they doing that?
That's where your water comes from.
Yeah, who is the planner on there?
You know what? I feel like they didn't think things through on that Death Star.
On the Death Star?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
the same dude who created the exhaust port.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ugh, just big weak, big weakness.
Without a bathtub drain. That's all they had to do.
That's the scene that was missing from Rogue One. Is Mads Mikkelsen just being like, and then all the doo doo goes in one place with this lizard in the center? And they're like,
yes,
oh, okay,
Grand Moff Tarkin is very confused. Like, right, bro, I must go now.
We didn't want to do just normal sewage.
Yeah,
not for this one. Okay.
The one thing I know is like, if you want that, a friend of mine who was there, if you want to get the lightsaber, like you got to pay up front. Like, there's no browsing in there. It's like serious fucking Jedi only, bro. Do not come in here to look at the different handles. I'm only looking for people.
Don't you have to like construct it?
Yeah, you get to build your own. But the thing is, like, they've because it's so popular, it's like you must buy if you come in here.
Right.
Oh, right.
And I would buy that.
And it is just
and then I would fight a stormtrooper when it tries asking.
$600 flashlight that you're screwing together, basically.
Look, hold on, dude. Depends on what kind of power crystal I put into it, first of all, and who knows what I'm going to make the handle out of. Am I going to go more Sith style or maybe something Jedi? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But is the blade just made from a big, like, plastic thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
That's so stupid.
It's not stupid. I need my motherfucking lightsaber.
I hope it looks cooler than the ones that they currently sell that are just, like, a long plastic stick that look like they're made from the same
levels
thing that all
to
kids' toys are made
from. Yeah, well, I remember when the first prequels came out, they re-released them, and it was just sort of like this telescopic blade.
Yeah,
and you couldn't
sad.
Bang with that. I broke my Darth Maul shit off the fucking rip.
Yeah.
I remember I like fanned it out, and I hit a tree, bust the full... I don't know why I thought I'd hit a fucking tree with it.
You thought you were going to cut a tree?
Also, I was like 14 when this shit came out, so I should have known better. I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, blah! And I was like, fuck.
Right.
Very expensive.
I broke my flashlight.
That sucks, man.
Sad.
Andrew, it's been such a pleasure having
thanks
you
thanks for
as
having
always.
Me.
Andy T.
Andy, just don't call me Andrew no more.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's what my first boxing teacher did one day, is why I use that exact same cadence and phrasing. He said, don't call me Saudi no more. Call me Supreme.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That is a huge upgrade, though.
It was very, very
Saudi
intense.
Supreme.
Anything to Supreme is a huge
upgrade. Yeah, that's true, yeah.
It did. The classes then cost $7,000 after that. That explains it. And all the gear was Supreme branded.
Yeah.
That's right. Where can people find you, listen to you, read you?
Andrew T., A-N-D-R-E-W-T-I, but most importantly, Yozus Racist is going to be on a little bit of a tour, so
woo!
Just hit us up, Yozus Racist, on Twitter. What are we doing? Boston, Philly, Minneapolis, and then West Coast in September is, geographically from the south, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, and then we're trying to work out some other shit. So yeah, come buy tickets. East Coast dates are all on sale right now.
Check them out. It's a great live show. It's a great podcast. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Yeah, this went a couple different places. But basically, it's a video that Dean Fleischer Camp of I guess he's probably best known for co-creating Marcel the Shell, and this comedian John Daly have this video called Drake Loves Basketball.
Oh, yeah.
That is incredibly funny. It's basically...
Bad lip reading.
Bad lip reading, a montage of, Drake in his various courtside things, and John Daly saying stuff about how much he loves basketball in character as Drake. It's so funny.
That's incredible. Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Some tweets that I like. One is from at Sick of Wolves. This person definitely not a wolf.
You and me both, sister.
That whole account, all caps. Every day I astonish myself with my ability to read an article about how civilization is going to collapse in like a week while also being very concerned about the future of my favorite television characters. Yeah, that's about right.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have one more. Nate Fernald, at Nate Fernald, said, I had sex with a George O'Keefe painting and it gave birth to an Ann Geddes photograph.
Mm.
For all my fine art heads out there.
You can find me on Jack_O'Brien. I've got a couple saved up because I was out Monday. Yes, Zeitgang, I was getting my stomach pumped for having too much semen in it from having blown thousands of dudes in a single two-hour period. So I have some favorite tweets saved up, such as Kat Damon tweeted, I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm Hulk Hogan, hey there, brother. Ryan Rules Okay tweeted, strawberry jam. Hi, I'm strawberry jam, blueberry jam. Hi, I'm blueberry jam, raspberry jam. Hi, I'm raspberry jam, orange jam. Bonjour, you may call me marmalade. And Geraldine tweeted, the Joker should have been a woman, and she finally went insane because too many random dudes told her to smile, so now she perpetually smiles while terrorizing Gotham, which I think is just a good idea for
actually
Joker
a good
movie.
Idea.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our
footnotes.
We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Miles, what song are we going to ride out on?
We are going to do a track from Rubble Bucket, because I just want to remind people, reproductive rights, human rights. This song, the title, should just remind you all that we all came out of a lady. This is a track called Came Out of a Lady. And it's got a really good, I really like this group. And if you like brass, you like live instruments, they got it going. They got it going. So check out this one, Came Out of a Lady by Rubble Bucket.
Rubble Bucket's what I call my can.
Your toilet?
No, my butt.
Oh.
Whoa. Yeah.
Because it's just like the aftermath of destructive force.
I'm tired. It's been a long episode. Rubble, also one of my favorite Paw Patrol characters. That's going to do it for today. We're going to ride out on that. We'll be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we'll talk to you guys then. Bye!
Bye.
You came out of a lady, and I want you to save me. It's amazing. You came out of a lady, oh, and I'm glad that you saved me. It's amazing.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.